Our scripture reading this morning will be taken from John chapter 16, verses 31 through 33. John 16, 31 through 33. "You believe at last?" Jesus answered. "But a time is coming and has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home. You will leave me all alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you might have peace. In this world you will have trouble. Take heart, I have come to overcome the world."
It's so good to see you this morning. We've got so much happening around here. We're happy about it. We're glad about the opportunities that have been given to us. Before we begin our lesson, I need to remind you that we're 6 weeks away from our Mission Sunday. This is an opportunity that we have every year to not only fund our mission work for the year, but it also gives us an opportunity to dig deep and to sacrifice. We make no apologies about asking for help in this, because it's not for us. It's you know the flags around the room. These are just some of the places that we do the work that we do here. We send help to so many. You won't see a flag from Cuba on the wall here, but because of your contribution last year, there was enough money for me to go to Cuba and preach to 250 preachers who are establishing congregations in their homes in that country. And that lectureship was invited to go, and that was part of what you did. So you went to Cuba and helped encourage and instill and that work. We don't have a flag for, I don't think we have a flag for Nicaragua here, but we support, and for the last 2 or 3 years, we've supported the work at Baxter, the preacher's training school in Nicaragua. It's older than the school in Ecuador and very similar to it. And we've, because of your generosity, we've been able to expand the help there. And preachers are going out into all sorts of Spanish-speaking countries and sharing the gospel. There's not a flag there from Pennsylvania, where I think it was a little over a year ago, the church here helped that congregation in New Brighton, Pennsylvania. They were considering going out of business. They'd been a big church, and, 100 members or more in the 60s, but the steel mills closed and things happened, and the church got smaller and smaller, and thought about going just closing down. The building had fallen into disrepair, and there weren't enough people to do all the work. Well, Brother Roy Sarton and his wife moved over to that community, although he's not being supported financially by the church there, but as an old missionary, he just couldn't quit doing what he does, and got them all on fire again, and they started teaching people, and the congregation has been growing. And this church helped them remodel their church building and make it more attractive to the community, put a roof on it for one thing, and this year we'll be, Patsy and I will be going up there to be a part of a gospel meeting that's a celebration of a renewed start of that congregation. We don't have time today to tell you all the things, but you know what you do, and you know how God has used your gifts and your help. This year is going to be an extra challenge because we just got through doing a really big thing with the help with our brothers and sisters along the coast. How would you say, we want to do this and not that, or that and not this? Of course not. So we have an opportunity, a blessing given to us by God, an opportunity to test our faith and to make a sacrifice. Some of us will have to sell something. Some of us will have to do without something that we wanted, that we thought we needed. Some of us will maybe not do some of the things that we planned on doing, but we have this opportunity, and we want to do it, because there's so much going on and so many great, great opportunities for the Lord. Thank you. Please pray about this the next 6 weeks. Pray about it and think about it and think about the opportunity that you have. Our lesson today will come from the 16th chapter of the book of John. I love the Gospel of John, don't you? It's the gospel that was written to Christians, and it's so full of encouragement and so spiritual. Well, in the chapter 16, Jesus is about to be betrayed, and he's having conversations. John tells us more of what he says to his disciples than any other gospel. He gives us a longer picture of the prayer that he prayed in chapter 17. But in chapter 16, and because of our time constraints, we're not going to read this whole chapter, but I want you to read it as we go through this great chapter. Jesus is giving a preview to his disciples of what's about to happen, what's about to come upon them. He's trying to explain to them how it's necessary for him to be betrayed and to be crucified. And of course, they're getting nervous about this, and they're getting worried about it, and they're crying about it, and they're afraid. He's giving them this preview, like as he says in verse 1, to keep them from falling away. He's trying to equip them and giving them the information that they need. And what is that information? This chapter tells us it's going to get hard. It's going to be difficult for you, and you need to brace yourself for the impact that's coming. He's telling them that the world is going to, and even their own brothers, their own relatives, their own people in the Jewish faith are going to disown them. They're not just going to ignore them. They're going to cast them out and say, you don't belong here anymore. Eventually, they're going to say, you don't belong in this world anymore. And they're going to kill them. They think that God hates them because they hate them. And they think that they're doing God a service. And verse 3 says they don't really know who God is. And they don't know what God is about. And he says, this warning is therefore their good. Now, when this is happening, you know what's happening with the disciples. They're distressed. They're in tears. They're afraid. They're sweating, and they're anxiously looking about. And if you could picture Jesus at this time, you would see him saying, shh, shh. You would see him touching them. You would see him wiping their tears away. You would see him hugging them. You would see him with through his own tears that he has in love for them. You're going to see the care that he has for them, and you'll see this smile of reassurance. It's all going to be all right. It's going to be okay. It's going to get hard. It's going to be harder than you can imagine, but it's going to be okay. In verse 6, he says, I know you don't want to hear this, and I know that you don't think you can hear it, and I don't want to break your heart, but I know you're sad about this, and I hear him saying, shh, shh, it's okay. It's okay. I see him walking around among them, petting on them and touching them and reminding them and maybe saying things that John doesn't record for us, calling them by name and reminding them of good times and reminding them that it's not over. This is not the end of it. I know you don't want to hear it. I don't want to break your heart, but I'm leaving. This is necessary. They don't want him to leave. You can see him grabbing a hold of him and holding him and clinging to him and saying no and shaking their heads. And he's saying, but this is necessary. In verse 7, he's going to tell us why it's better that I go. How could it be better that Jesus go? How could it be better that we be left alone? How could it be better that we go into this grinder that you have planned, that you're telling us is going to happen? And in verse 7, he introduces one of the ways that it's going to be better. Because you'll receive the Spirit. He calls him a counselor, one who will walk beside you and help you and carry your part of your weight, maybe carry the heavy part of your weight. He's going to give you the help that you need. He's going to help you. He's not just going to help you to survive, but he's going to help you to do more and to be more and to know more. He's going to help you to be successful in this really big job that you have to do. In verse 8, he says, this is bigger than you can imagine. This is the biggest thing that's ever happened in the world till now. This is the day when the kingdom begins. This is the day when sin is unmasked. This is the day when the Holy Spirit will help you, and he'll help you do that very thing. He said in this passage, he tells us in verse 8 and 9 that the Holy Spirit will teach you about sin and unmask it. The world thinks a lot of things that God calls sin are, they're even good. They think that when John Wayne kicks a door in, that's a good thing. They think when someone tells a lie and wins, that's a good thing. They think that if you can steal something and not be caught, that means you're clever and it's a good thing. But sin is going to be unmasked, and it's going to be unmasked so dramatically. When sinful men kill the Son of God, it can be no hiding it anymore. The light is shone on what sin really is. The light is on, and you can see the roaches now. And you can see how ugly it really is. And the Holy Spirit's going to do that. He's going to lead these men and guide these men and inspire these men to write Scripture, the Word of God. How do you know what's right and wrong? You know it because the Holy Spirit wrote it here in this book. You know it because it's from God. And you know it because Jesus put the stamp of approval on it by following the Word of God even to his own death. He said the Holy Spirit's going to help you do that. In verse 11, he's going to say, you need to understand how significant this is. Satan is about to be judged. Satan is going to be cast out of his position. He's going to be judged because he's going to be shown for what he really is. He's going to be judged because he can't get out of this. And he's going to be judged because I'm going to come back from the dead. He's going to be judged. He can't get out of it. He can't lie out of it. He can't do anything about it. He's going to be judged. The Holy Spirit is about to take the mask off of sin. The Holy Spirit is about to show judgment and righteousness to the world. We will know the way to go. The Holy Spirit's going to help us do that. And he's going to use you to do it. Man, this is a good thing. Stop crying. Stop saying no. You know, you don't know what you're wanting. This is a good thing. This is a necessary thing. This is the will of God that's about to happen. And Satan is going to be removed from his position. He's going to be judged by this very series of events that's coming. He said the Holy Spirit will also guide you into all truth. This ultimate truth is from God. And the Holy Spirit will lift me up in that truth. Why do you love Jesus? Oh, well, you love him because of what he did. But why do you love him? How do you know what he did? It was the Holy Spirit that inspired Matt. The Holy Spirit will help us in that way. Everything you need, you will have because he will give it to you. He told them in another place, you don't need to worry about what you have to say because the Spirit is going to give you perfect memory. He told those men, those apostles, that you don't need to worry about what to say because the Spirit's going to guide you into all truth. One thing from now, all these years later, we can look back with confidence because these men were not on their own. Even though Jesus left them, he gave them the Counselor. Last week we talked about what it means to have the Spirit, what it means to live in the Spirit. Here's the reason we know all of this, is because the Holy Spirit has given these men. He tells them, I'm going to leave you, but you will not be alone. You'll have everything you need. Look at verse 23. He says, don't forget to pray. Remember to pray. And he tells them also, remember it's going to get rough. It's going to get worse, and for a while it's going to be seemingly unbearable, but you can bear it. He says you will be tested, but this testing, this scattering, this being hated, this tribulation that he says in verse 33 that you'll have in the world, this tribulation will be offset by the peace of God. You'll know this because I've overcome the world. And then he says in the last verse, be of good cheer to a bunch of crying men who are saying no and putting their hands over their ears. They don't want to hear this message. To a bunch of men who are terrified, they're trembling in fear. To a bunch of men who are looking this way and that way with nervousness. To a bunch of men who know that for one thing, we're not men enough, we're not man enough, we're not strong enough, we're not able to do this. To a bunch of men who are so sorry and so sad and so heartbroken at the thought that Jesus is going to die, he says, cheer up. How could you put cheer in the same paragraph with what we've just been reading? Because of the other side of it and what the Spirit is going to give to them. The Spirit is going to inspire them so they won't be confused. They will know what's true. The Spirit is going to help them so they know they won't be alone. The Spirit is going to guide them and guard them and be with them. The Spirit is going to make sure that they have at their disposal whatever they need. And these men are going to boldly go out and do the work that God has given them. Their abilities will be out of this world. Their energy will be unlimited. You can't beat them up. You can't shut them up. You can't threaten them enough. You can't hurt them enough for them to back down on what they have been given. Why? Because, men, this is an important thing. This is a good thing. He tells us in the prayer later when he prays that these men belong to him. They belong to him and that God had given them to him and that he's done everything that could be done to a man to get him ready for this. And now it's ready for them to do their job. This is an awful, wonderful part of Scripture. This is an awful thing because of the tribulation these poor men are going to have to go through. It's an awful thing because of the test they're going to have to take. It's an awful thing because the scars will be all over their bodies and their limbs will be crooked from their persecution. It's going to be an awful thing because some people, when they look at them, they get so angry that spit forms in the corners of their mouth and the blood vessels on their forehead stick out and they want nothing more than for these men to die. Some men are going to hate them so much that they refuse to eat until the apostles are dead. When one of them dies, there are men all over the world who are going to rejoice that this good man has died, just like they did when Jesus died. But the cheering up part comes. And you men, you, Matthew, you, Peter, John, Thomas, you ordinary men, are going to be given a job to be there at the most important time. Did you ever do something that was really important? Or maybe just be there when something really important happened. Maybe something historic. And for the rest of your life, when that subject is brought up, and if they don't bring it up, you do, you can remind them, I was there. I was there when that treaty was signed. I was there when that battle was won. Maybe it might not be a big thing. Maybe as I caught the pass that won state championship. Or maybe it was something really important. When it really mattered, I did my duty. I was where I was supposed to be, doing what I was supposed to do. I was there. These men are going to be there. They're handpicked by God, and they're given this great commission. What does all this mean to us? We're not promised that we'll be inspired. We're not promised that we will be able to preach to Gentiles. We're not promised that we'll have a memory that never fails us. But we are promised that our work is significant. We're promised that where we are is where we're supposed to be. Peter will tell Christians later, you were called to this. This is your job. Now, in the great parade of the people of God, we might not be in a place that Abraham or David or Paul or Peter were, but we're in it. And we have confidence like they did that what God has given to us is what we need for where we are. We have the Word of God. We know more than the people in Corinth knew, because we've been given the Word of God. He's told us, he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, everything we need. We've been promised that he will never forsake us. We've been promised that the Spirit lives in us. We've been promised that when we pray in Jesus' name, he hears us and that he is eager to help us. We've been promised that the prayers of righteous people do not go without reward, that they are heard and answered. We are promised that we can have the peace of God. We are promised that our place, our work, our position is significant. If it's a little thing, what could be smaller than a cup of water? It does not go without its reward. If it's a big thing, He promises us the peace that passes understanding, and He promises us that we can be more than conquerors. This is significant. I don't know what test you're about to enter. I don't know what task that's ahead for you. I don't know what the future holds. It could get worse. It could get lonely. It could be painful. Doesn't matter. The promises are still there. Guys, we do not live by facts. Well, these facts. We live by hope. We know the one who promised us will come through. Do you think these men, these 12 men ever, do you think they ever, when they were old, say, you know, He just led us astray there. He didn't help us. No. When Paul is all alone on trial, and even his friends, those people that passed out the song books at his revival services, those people who fed him after church on Sunday night, when all of them had forsaken him, he said, everybody left me. Well, no, the Lord didn't leave me. He never did. He's always with us because He promised, lo, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. It's okay. We're going to be fine. It's okay. What He has planned for us is wonderful. It's okay. Maybe there was a time we couldn't take it when we were children, but now you can. This is a powerful chapter, and it's full of wonderful promises. He's telling us we need to stand up. We need to take a deep breath. We need to set our shoulders back and stick our jaw out and obey the Lord. You can do it. You'll have help. Won't you come to Jesus while we stand and sing?